We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Okay, welcome in. Episode 122 from Baltimore, where the Bears managed to pull out another overtime victory against an AFC North opponent. It certainly wasn't pretty, but a win is a win, I guess, for the Chicago Bears. They'll take them any way they can, especially John Fox. No question about that. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read our post-game reaction at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And you can subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes. Tune in. And the WGN Radio app. 312-222-5050 is our voicemail line. Still some space open for you to chime in on what you saw today in Baltimore if you'd like to and make Wednesday's podcast. But for now, we'll focus on this game. And Adam Johns, I just have one question for you as we start this thing. Is Joe Flacco elite?
Absolutely not. He is horrendous. Look, I know he's not throwing to outstanding receivers. Steve Smith is long gone. God, did he even throw him to him that long? I don't even remember, but he's not a good quarterback. The Ravens aren't a particularly good team. I know they have some nice players, some good players, but I thought this was a very winnable ball game for the Bears. It continued to look like that throughout the game. And then the Bears tried to lose it like the Bears. This was a crazy football game. They probably should not have won this game the way they were throwing it away.
This is one of those games where we both got our prediction wrong, but in a way I feel like we got it right. Because we both thought the Bears would have a chance to win this game. We both thought that they would be in it. Neither of us thought the Ravens were particularly good, but we just did not trust the Bears to win on the road, which they had not done since 2015. And my God, did they try to give this game away. I mean, this was I remember I went to the press room to get something to drink, the cafeteria area here at the stadium in the press box, to get something to drink like early in the fourth quarter or late third, some point there in the game. And I remember thinking to myself, man, when's the last time the Bears had control of a game from start to finish? Like, just beat a team from start to finish. And then basically from that point on, they tried to give this thing away. They fumbled the ball twice in the fourth quarter. They gave up two special teams touchdowns. Which, man, they missed Sherrick McManus, who got hurt early in the game. But, I mean, it's kind of a miracle they still managed to win. I don't know how you felt going into overtime, but I did not have much confidence, especially after they had to punt the ball once in overtime. I didn't have much confidence, and that was a bad punt by Pat O'Donnell, speaking of more mistakes. I mean, there was just so many of them. And what I concentrated on, John Z, in my postgame column, was this Bears defense. In my opinion, went from good to great today. I think it was their best performance under Vic Fangio, and they bailed this team out so much today. Bailed out the offense, bailed out the special teams, and I don't want to even hear about Mitch Trubisky today. It was all about the defense, and they won this game for the Bears.
Well, I wrote about Mitch Trubisky. I still don't think they won without two of his throws, but I get your point. I thought the Bears were going to lose in regulation. They were awful in the fourth quarter. You're right. Everything was heading. It wasn't just like the Ravens were playing well. The Bears were doing this to themselves, not making sure to finalize their tackles on special teams. And they did clearly miss Sherrick McManus. We can't underestimate the importance of certain special teamers. He is one of those guys. So much value on the special teams. Obviously, I think things are different in this game if he's in this game against on those two return touchdowns. But I thought they were going to blow it in regulation the way things were trending, and the defense made a stand there in the final couple minutes. They were outstanding. Akeem Hicks, Pernell McPhee showed up. Danny Trevathan showed up. They hit interceptions, Adam. Interceptions. Two.
You got your bold prediction right. Finally. They finally came through with that. Not only did they get two interceptions, they returned one for a touchdown. What a cool moment that actually was. Two Baltimore natives. Kyle Fuller was unbelievable. Stuck like glue to Ravens wide receivers today. Really, really good. And on that play, he got enough disruption on it as he broke on Joe Flacco's pass. It bounces off Chris Moore, bounces to Adrian Amos, who returns it for a touchdown. Amos' first career interception. Interestingly enough, he said that's not the first time he's scored in this stadium, because he scored a touchdown as a wide receiver in high school, he said. So the two Baltimore natives combined for a huge play that helped the Bears win this one. We don't have to break down special teams too much, but I give the Ravens credit. Here's why they missed Sherrick McManus. The Bears did. If you look at the 77, that's how much it was, 77-yard return in the final 2 minutes, the punt return. The Ravens ran two guys at Craven the block, who was the gunner filling in for Sherrick McManus once McManus went out with a hamstring injury. And LeBlanc was kind of blocking because they were kind of max protect on that play. But instead of going after the block, they ran two guys at him. And he was stuck all the way back here behind his own 20-yard line. Behind the line. When's the last time you saw Gunner stuck behind his own line of scrimmage? That opened up the entire left side for the return. And, I mean, he had no chance. So that was just great design. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on special teams coordination, but you could see right there what they did, and it was a huge play in the game. So, man, these soft tissue injuries. Three of them this week. Marcus Wheaton tears his groin. Sherrick McManus, hamstring today. And Benny Cunningham, hamstring today. At some point, you gotta do something. I don't know what, but you got to do something.
I'm sick of that discussion, though. Like, what are you going to do? It's football. I get that these guys can do different treatments. It's not like they're trying to get their guys hurt. I get you need to try to revamp certain things, and the Bears have done that. The Ravens suffered just as many injuries in this game as the Bears did. It's football at the end of the day. It's a physical game. It's a fastly played game. People are going to get hurt. Sherrick Manis, from what I can remember, just slipped. Just slipped. Those are the worst injuries when no one's hitting you. You just slip, you blow things out, and things are very, very bad for you after that. So I get the...
But did he slip because something ripped? Is that why he went down?
Or maybe the slip caused the rip. It's just... I don't know. I get people want to point fingers at the injuries mounting. But look, I'm struggling to see a correlation between, you know, some of these injuries and stuff. A lot of these guys have such different ailments, like from Kevin White to Cam Meredith. There's just so many different ones. It's just there's no – I know what people – they want answers. I just don't get it. And you're keeping it alive.
Well, I've talked to some in the athletic training business and the medical business who do believe that at some point when soft tissue injuries keep piling up, that there can be a problem in the way you're training. So the Bears said they spent all offseason on this stuff. They made changes, but they didn't make changes to their staff. So I don't know where else to go. I'm not an expert on this. But I'm just – at some point, that's the only way I can go as you continue to look at it. I mean, again, if it's ACLs, if it's bones breaking, if it's football stuff like that, I 100% get it. And there's going to be occasional tears. But this goes all the way to training camp. I mean, Eric Kush tore his hamstring in camp. So – and from what I understand, Marcus Wheaton tore his groin the other day on a one-on-one drill in practice. That's what a source told me. So this isn't even like combative stuff in practice. It's one-on-one. So I don't know.
So clean house. That's it. It's not an epidemic exclusively to the Bears, though. Look around. Everybody has these soft tissue injuries. I'm not trying to defend anybody, and I get you need to do further research and stuff like that. And maybe, you know, here's the one thing that people don't consider often. The way they're trained individually apart from teams during the offseason is so different now because they're so limited by the access they have to the teams have with these players. These players go off on their own. These players take advice from people outside their own building. They have their own personal trainers, their own personal masseuses, their own personal dietitians. So there's a lot in play here. I know pointing fingers, we're getting off track from this game, but that's just the way I feel about it.
All right. Well, we'll move on. You are right about Mitch Trubisky. I did mention in my story that, you know, they don't get in the field goal range without that throw. And the throw at the end of the game, which he uses his incredible footwork in the pocket, which is something I've been talking about since the spring, that he has just a natural ability to somehow maneuver with his feet, with his eyes up, and make plays like that. You saw the glimpse right there. You saw why the Bears are so in love with him right there on that play, and he delivers a strike to Kendall Wright, who is the Bears' only wide receiver. It's amazing. And then also, I want to bring up the bad snaps by Cody Whitehair again. I mean, if Mike Glennon is the quarterback, and I hate bringing this up because I feel like I'm bashing the guy, but it's just the reality of his movement ability. That's at least a safety with Mike Glennon. And I'm not sure he picks up the ball. It could have been a touchdown for the Ravens. So, I mean, you saw in a few plays today the athleticism by Mitch Trubisky allowed, as limited as the offense seemed to be throughout this game with the quarterback, it wasn't his fault. It was the game plan, and if anything, he saved them a few times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, just look at his two biggest throws in the game. On the move to his right to Deion Sims, 27-yard touchdown. The pass to Kendall Wright, the pocket presence to elude the pressure from both outside edges. The step-up slide to his right, guy in his face, over the middle. Kendall Wright did have to go up and make the catch, but it was the only place where completion could be made. There was coverage underneath. And a very special throw. Not just impressive. That was a special throw. I came away impressed. The Bears don't win that game if that throw is not made. Jordan Howard gets him down there with a 53-yard run. Then they promptly lose yardage on the next play. Mitch Trubisky at some point had to make a big throw, and he did.
He absolutely did, and you know that's clearly what the Bears' game plan is right now. You could tell they're still trying to slowly develop him and be careful with this thing. Their plan changed when they had to put him out there, and you're absolutely seeing the last 2 weeks they had to do it. Not that there was really a debate about it, but at least they came around and understood that, and now they're being careful. They can talk as much as they want about it being the game plan, and Trubisky said that they, you know, the way the Ravens were playing today dictated more runs, and I'm sure that's all true. But they're also clearly being careful with their quarterback here, especially with the, you know, he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins like Deshaun Watson has in Houston. They don't have weapons right now, and so I think this is the right thing. Is it frustrating? Yes. Is it hard to watch? Yes. Did it go to too much of an extreme today with, what was it, 50-something runs and 16 passes? Yes, it was extreme. But you know what? Without those special teams touchdowns, that plan works easily. The Bears win this game easily without those mistakes on special teams.
Well, here's where it almost backfired, though. He has no rhythm. Okay, if those plays don't happen, they come away with a solid one. But you know what? Those plays did happen. And Mitch Trubisky, in the final minutes, was given a chance to lead the Bears to a win. They're out of rhythm. Completely out of rhythm. Holding penalty. Couple bad runs to nowhere. Need him to pass? It ain't working. Too late now. Can't find a rhythm. I'm just saying, you know, I get the idea that the special teams touchdowns made this game more interesting. It made it wild and crazy, actually. But, look, I think there was room for a few more passes. Now, I get their point. Hostile environment. Mitch Trubisky called this place that a few times, repeatedly. But there is still some option to use your quarterback better in some cases. I get the idea, but the run-pass ratio was 50-16. 50-16. It's bad.
Yeah, I will agree with you. I mean, you're not going to beat the Panthers next week that way, I think. You're at some point, you do got to open it up. And you know what? He missed a couple shots. I thought Tanner Gentry was open once in the first half that he overthrew it into the sideline. And then there was also a pass to Deion Sims. Wasn't quite as open, sort of on the left side that he missed high a little bit. So there were a couple misses in this game. But again, the stats are a little bit deceiving. 8-for-16, at least two or three of those were throwaways, right? I don't remember any drops today, though. I can't remember a drop off the top of my head. We'll see the film. But, you know, it was a good game by Mitch Trubisky, and they're just going to continue to bring him along slowly. And, you know, we got to give a shout out to Tariq Cohen, who threw the first touchdown pass today. I thought he was going to pull Steph Curry there for a second and just turn around, like when the shot's in the air, because he seemed so confident when he let go of it that he threw it, and he called it a dime. He said he channeled his inner Mitch.
I like that Trubisky actually said he was calling for that play last week because he saw that it was open. And maybe that's the creativity that people don't want to give Dow Loggins credit for, but it was there. It takes guts to call a play like that, a lot of guts. And maybe it would have shown more guts to give Mitch Trubisky more play calls. And I've come off as defensive of Dow Loggins on Twitter. I think a lot of the run heaviness of this game is that's more John Fox. I think it's 100% John Fox. Loggins has to run that game within what John Fox wants to do. Exciting plays by Tariq Cohen. He still dances a bit too much for me, but it was he's a force. He's a little 5'6" force out there for the Bears, making plays, throwing dimes, as he says, to tight end Zach Miller.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the John Fox thing, and your tweets are probably piling up the same way mine are in terms of the mentions that we're getting during the games. It's just like killing Dow Loggins for the play calling. You have to understand this. It is John Fox. This is his way of managing the game, not asking Mitch to do too much, and especially when I tweeted this during the game when people were frustrated. As long as they had a lead in this game, the strategy was not going to change. It just wasn't going to change, and it probably won't change much going forward. I think we're in agreement they got to open it up a little bit more, but they're limited. A lot of that's the head coach. It's not Dow Loggins, and I'd actually give Loggins credit for what he's managing the call and the way they're managing the move of football despite the weapons that they have. I want to bring a couple things to you from the locker room, okay? And the first is Tariq Cohen, who was pretty entertaining at his locker, describing the pass that he threw to Zach Miller, and really, you know, he's the most entertaining guy we could talk to in the locker room, and today was no different. So here's Tariq Cohen in the locker room after the game.
That's what we do as an offense. You know, we run outside zone. So then when they see us running outside zone, they're trying to come up and feel, and they open that up.
What did you think of the throw you made?
It was a dime, you know. I feel like I channeled my inner Mitch.
It hung up there for a while.
It did. It definitely was up there for a while. I was backpedaling, just looking at it. It was like a movie scene.
Were you trying to do that and loft it out there far so he could run under it? What were you thinking on that?
That's exactly what I was thinking, but I didn't mean to get it that high. Might have been a little too high, but it dropped in the perfect spot, and only he could catch it.
Tariq, what could you even see from your vantage point when you threw that ball? I mean, could you see where Zach was? Or?
I couldn't see Zach, but I was looking more at the number 23, and I was just waiting for him to make any type of move downhill. And as soon as I seen him come downhill, I just threw it to a spot, and I knew Zach would be there.
How far back did you backpedal after half that ball was in the air?
I felt like it was in the air for 30 seconds, so I was backpedaling until it dropped.
Last time you threw on a touchdown pass?
In college. Yeah, my senior year, I threw a couple touchdown passes.
You're the shortest player in touchdown.
Before I threw that, I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, I'm about to be the shortest player ever. Throw a touchdown.
1934, the guy's name is Wee Willie Smith.
Wee Willie? Shout out to Wee Willie. I'm Wee Reek.
What happened on the fumble?
So I made a sudden move without having the ball first. You know, mistake I shouldn't have made. You should have had two hands on the ball, secure it before I make any move. So really got to hone in on that and just not have that mistake again.
What did it take you guys to regroup going into overtime, just the way regulation ended?
We knew that we put ourselves in this position. So we have to dig ourselves out of it. And that's what we had to do. Coming out of overtime, we didn't get accomplished what we wanted to the first drive. So then defense held up. That gave us some momentum. And then, you know, Jordan and the O-line did what they had to do.
So there you go. Shout out to Wee Willie. Apparently, I think J.J. Stankovitz from Comcast was the one who, I'm sorry, NBC Sports Chicago now, who was the one who looked that up, that in the 30s, some guy named Wee Willie Smith threw a touchdown pass, and he was 5'6". So, Tariq Cohen gives the shout-out to Wee Willie. I thought that was pretty funny. The other one, we talked about Adrian Amos earlier coming back to Baltimore, his hometown, getting his first career interception, that monkey off his back that he's needed for so long. He is actually playing pretty good football. He's hitting hard. Those safeties are young, and they're playing very well right now. I would actually say he's playing better than Quentin Demps was when at the start of the season when Demps was healthy. He has been an upgrade, and I don't think many people would have thought that when he lost his starting job to Eddie Jackson at the start of the season. So here's Adrian Amos talking about coming back to Baltimore, getting that pick. And also, you'll hear me ask him in this, just him playing with an edge right now and how much that has to do with the fact that he lost his job when the season started.
Can you take us through the interception return for a touchdown?
I think it was a boot, and Kyle made a good play on the ball, tipped it up, you know, and just caught it and try not to get tackled.
We've talked to you so much about the interceptions. To get your first one, for it to be here, for it to be a scoring play, and points that you guys really needed, for all that to come together, what's your reaction to that adding up in that way?
I mean, you know, God worked funny, you know. But, you know, all glory to God. You know, just keep sticking it out. And I'm just happy I made a play to help the team win. You know what I'm saying? And for it to come here home in Baltimore, I guess, that, you know, that's a great thing, great feeling.
Would you really have a moment doing it here with family, friends, all?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a great feeling. Yeah, that's a great feeling. You know, my Grammy up in the, in the press box, and, you know, my family in the stands. So, it's a great feeling, great moment.
Andrew, when you looked up, once you secured that football, what did you see?
When I got the football, go score, man. Make people miss. Go score. You know what I'm saying? Get the ball. Now it's, you know what I'm saying, I already got the pick. You know, that's score.
You've definitely laid some big hits the last few weeks.
Yeah.
It seems like you're playing with an edge.
Right.
How much of that has to do with the fact that you didn't win the job in camp and now you just kind of get a second opportunity?
I mean, you know, I just had that mindset this year. Just, you know, grind it out. You know, I worked hard this offseason. I've been trying to, get better each and every day. You know, I put the work in. I'm confident in myself as a player, as I always been. A player, not letting certain stuff get in my head, not letting with different people saying get in my head, just trying, grind it out, be the same person every day. I just been coming in, try to give good energy, no power.
Yeah. 90 yards from the end zone when you get the ball. At what point do you know you've got a shot?
When I got the ball, that was, score. When you get the ball on defense, you got five linemen, a quarterback, and then the skill play is mostly down the field. So, it's try to score, just don't get tired.
Was there a point though in the return that your eyes got big and you knew you were gonna get a real shot? The end zone was right there.
I mean, when I broke through the line the last time, I don't know. I gave a move and I broke through the line the first time. I looked up at the Jumbotron and it was just me, and it was just get to the end zone, don't get tired.
Did you ever envision yourself growing up as scoring a touchdown in this stadium?
I mean, of course. I mean, I remember it's a field like right under the bridge right there. And I used to watch my father play like 7-on-7 games and stuff growing up and stuff like that. And I used to be playing down on the field and stuff like that, looking at the stadium. And, just growing up around Baltimore, being a Ravens fan, watching Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and stuff like that. Of course, this is a dream come true, come back to play in the stadium. So that's a blessing in itself. Not a lot of people from Baltimore get a chance to, to do that, to be in the stadium.
Turkey Bowl flashbacks walking out of that?
Actually, walking out this tunnel, walking to the stadium, it felt like Turkey Bowl. I remember, my last game in college, my last game in high school was walking out this tunnel, and it felt good to be back.
Did you ever come close to scoring in any of those high school games?
Here?
Yeah.
I never scored here. I had an interception here. And a couple good wins. I did score here before.
In the stadium?
Yeah, I scored here before on a pass at receiver. But
What do you think of Kyle's game?
Kyle played lights out. You know, if I really had to give a game ball, it would be to Kyle. Kyle, they tried him, like, for a whole series one time, and it was no completions. I don't know how many actual PBUs they got him for, but I know it should be like 7 or 8. It should be like 7 or 8. I don't know if y'all give it to him if he don't actually touch the ball. But those are all his plays. He was in man-to-man basically a lot, and you know, he showed up big time. Yeah, man. You know, I was really just waiting to today so I can come back to Baltimore and get my first pick. That was really, you know, my plans. My mother told me to do it. So,
no, but safeties, they got to get one from time to time.
I mean, I played well. We haven't had a lot of turnovers here the past 3 years, period. But hopefully, you know, this turns the tide. We had 3 takeaways today, and we really stressed takeaways this week. And hopefully moving forward, this brings a lot more coming forward.
So there's Adrian Amos, and you could tell he felt, you know, really happy getting that done with his family here. He said his grandma was here. So pretty cool for him. And again, pretty cool that he and Kyle Fuller, 2 Baltimore natives, combined for such a big play.
I felt when Demps got hurt, I like the signing. I get why you sign him. You know, he's coming off a big year with the Texans. But I thought the opportunity for the young safeties to compete again, specifically Amos and Deion Bush, that was really good for the Bears. With all due respect to Demps, you're not a young guy. You're a valuable guy, but this team needs to get younger. You have 2 young guys now competing for a spot that was taken away from them. Those were starters last year. Amos and Bush were starters for the Bears last year. Eddie Jackson still deserves to be on the field, but to have them compete for that job, Amos is showing up. Yeah, it was an easy interception. The return was very impressive, but what's really standing out to me is how physical he is on tackling. He's attacking, and he is really laying a licking on some of these guys.
Well, and it's not just at the safety position. You know, Kyle Fuller, I would say a big reason why he's turned on and playing with an edge, too, I think is the correct way to put it. You know, you can go out and sign Marcus Cooper, you go out and sign Prince Amukamara, and they declared them as starters right away. And all of a sudden, he shows up to OTAs, and he's working with the backups. You know, and those guys, in from my understanding, is he bonded with Vic Fangio in the offseason. We saw and heard Fangio call Fuller out at the end of last season in December when he wasn't playing. It seemed like the team thought he could. It looked like he was going to get traded or released. And yet they took a different approach. Fuller ended up bonding with Fangio in the offseason, from what I understand. He's motivated. He gets motivated by the signing of Amukamara and Cooper. Same thing with Amos and them bringing in Quentin Demps and drafting Eddie Jackson. Competition. Coaches talk about this all the time, and it turns into a cliche, but competition goes a long ways. When you're a struggling, sort of middling player at any position, and there's not much pressure behind you of anyone taking your job, it's not going to bring out the best in you. And so I think that's making a big difference in the secondary right now. But also, this front seven's playing great. And as long as Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman are healthy up front, this defense is going to give Mitch Trubisky a chance to make plays like he did today in overtime.
How about Danny Trevathan and his comeback from his 1-game suspension? I don't know if you call it comeback. His return from the 1-game suspension. Sack, fumble recovery, forced by Christian Jones. All over the field, flying around, as they like to say. The Bears need that. Nick Kukowski's returning. The defense, a lot of good young playmakers starting to show up there. So I think you can be encouraged if once the offense finds some balance. Maybe not a 50-16 run pass ratio. I think the Bears can do some things.
All right, if you had to give the game ball out to one player, who would it be?
Joe Flacco. No, it's a good question. I don't know. How about you?
I'm going to go with Kyle Fuller. I think Amos would sort of be the sentimental pick. He gets his first pick. It's Baltimore. But I'm going to go with the other Baltimore native because I thought overall, from start to finish, Fuller had the better. Fuller had the better game. There was one play where he was a little bit off too much, gave up a completion, and then there were 2 plays where I thought he missed a tackle. But other than that, I mean, I was really impressive with how closely in man coverage he was staying with these wide receivers. By the way, they're not great wide receivers on the Ravens either, especially after Breshad Perriman went out in the first half. But Kyle Fuller played great, and he helped cause that pick six. So I just think overall I'm going to go with Fuller.
I want to give it to, I guess, Jordan Howard. I don't want to be overly critical of the Bears' plan, especially I think Howard's a pretty good player. He's a Pro Bowl player. It was the no turnovers from him, despite, God, how many carries did he have, 36 or something like that? Of course, he was bound to break one. Did you see him shake off Eric Weddle? That's an all-pro safety that he shook off. I get that Weddle went for the ball. But Jordan Howard, his run-after contact ability, his tackling, breaking ability, he's a very good running back. He's having another – he's quietly piecing together another good season after all those – remember how dismayed people were early about him in the season when he drops the ball at the one and whatnot? But he's putting together another good season.
Well, when you can average 4.6 yards on 36 carries, I don't know if 36 carries can hold up for, you know, the rest of the season, but 167 yards, impressive performance. That said, dude, he almost lost the game by running out of bounds. They would have been able to run the clock out at the end of regulation, get to overtime. He, especially after you just gave up a punt return, they wouldn't have even had to punt in that situation. But because he runs out of bounds, they did have to punt, which was scary. And then with Justin Tucker's leg, you know, one pass, they could have gotten a field goal range. But fortunately, the one very well-coached unit on this team, Vic Fangio, came up with a great call, funneled the Ravens in the middle of the field, and they were able to run out the clock there and get to overtime. But I agree, Jordan Howard continues to be great. Any final thoughts?
I still think the Bears are a pretty good team. Mitch Trubisky clearly makes them different. Mike Glennon's in this game. It was a very Mike Glennon-esque game plan. Mm-hmm. But he's not making those throws that Mitch Trubisky did to make to Deion Simpson, Kendall Wright. Just a different quarterback, changes the dynamic of this team. We'll see. We'll see if this continues. I think he'll be better. Of course he'll get better. The flashes of stardom still were here in Baltimore. 2-3. They're not out of it yet. Aaron Rodgers, he's out. Changes the whole dynamic of the division.
2-4.
2-4.
Aaron Rodgers is out. That is a big deal. Crazy. I'll just say, though, lack of wide receivers, I don't know how that's going to get fixed. There's no one coming to save you in that area, and that's going to continue to be a problem the rest of the year. But as long as you have this defense, I'll go back to how we started this episode. This defense is going to give Mitch Trubisky a chance. I'll go back to what Vic Fangio said earlier this week, though. He mentioned that they were, you know, pretty good defense last year until the dam broke open late with all the injuries. They've been able to overcome some injuries. Three starters from the start of the season are on IR at this point. It's a little nerve-wracking if more guys go down. I mentioned Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman and how important they are on that defensive line. But if those guys stay healthy, this unit's going to continue to be pretty damn good. As I put it, they went from good to great today with the takeaways. The takeaways make you a great defense.
The injury talk, still not the same burn that Green Bay is feeling right now. They just lost a Hall of Fame quarterback with a broken collarbone and his throwing shoulder. That is an injury.
Well, I would give Tony Romo a call, which would be disappointing for us as we watch football games because Tony Romo has been doing great. Otherwise, you know, there's a backup quarterback on the Bears that, you know, you could – I'm just kidding. I think the Packers saw that game in Green Bay too. That's a joke. All right. We should get out of here. Get our butts back to Chicago. Good Panthers team coming to Soldier Field next week. That's going to be a tough one. But, hey, you somehow pull that one off. They played some good teams pretty well so far this season. And I'll say it again. They could have a chance as long as the defense plays well. So we'll get all into that on Wednesday. Bring you our voicemails on Wednesday as well. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Our podcast in print will also be in the SunTimes again this week. You can check that out. And in the meantime, find the podcast. Please rate and review it. We appreciate when you're doing that. It's a big help. Find it on iTunes. Do it there. Tune in the WGN Radio app, pretty much anywhere where you listen to podcasts. And again, still time to chime in on the voicemail line, 312-222-5050. The Bears get a win. Wasn't pretty, but it was a win. They're 2-4. Panthers coming to town. Hey, who knows? We'll talk to you on Wednesday.